Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the closing ceremonies of the Congress. I'd like to introduce Tim Pritlove, who has worked on many, many Congresses in the past and many other projects, and this past year embarked on probably his most ambitious project to date, after the birth of his son, Merlin, this past year since the last Congress. Okay. So congratulate him on that. Give him a big round of applause. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Tim. Thank you.
So good you finally know who I am. So, let's go through the final details of this event. 24, quite some time. We're going to have a look, a very special look back as well. But before I continue talking, there are other people who have to tell you some of the funny details of this event. And we're starting with the NOC, the Network Operations Center. And here is Alex, and he's going to tell you what's going on.
Okay. The network, building the network this time was quite a challenge, as some of you might have noticed in the first few days. So we had quite a few problems, but in the end it pretty much worked for the last 2 days, and that's, of course, amongst other things, thanks to our sponsors, ForceN for supplying us with the distribution switches and the core switch, Motorola Symbol for the wireless network, which took us a while to get to know how to set it up properly for the Congress. ESIX supplied us big boxes of fibers to hook everything up, and Access for All sponsored some servers that ran DHCP and DNS and that sort of thing. And the good thing about those is we don't have to give them back. So
ESIX server.
So next year, we'll just plug them in, and Okay. We're good to go.
It's not off,
Now, we had our uplinks, of course, as well. They're also very important. We had 3x1 gigabit from LambdaNet, from Cogent, and from dhosting. The majority this time had actually IPv6 for us. And special thanks also to Versatel to help us get everything out of the building here. Now, not all the uplinks were in the same location. They were in different locations in Berlin. So we actually had to build a 10 gig metropolitan area network across Berlin to hook everything up. That took some trouble as well. Now, some statistics. We had even more computers on the network this time. We had over 5,800 unique MAC addresses on the network. 35% of which are apples. We did a total of, on peak times, which was around midnight, with the bottom traffic around 9:30 when all the hackers are sleeping, of 2.3 gigabits, which is up from 1.6 last year. So that's growing pretty rapidly. And 2.3 gigabits is actually just over 2 million packets a second that were going through the network. So, wireless, we did about 260 megabits with 625 clients online at the same time. And 2 gigabits were coming constantly from our new high-tech colocation facility down in the Hack Center. Now, we did bring this time some 10 gig switches to connect 10 gig servers, as we promised last year. However, nobody brought any 10 gig servers for us to collocate. So there's a job for you guys next year, which is bring some servers with 10 gig interfaces, okay? Now, the network was consisted of the ForceN E600 core switch. We had the C300 distribution switches and some Hirschmann switches for distribution as well. And we had another 2 ForceN 2410s for the uplink and the 10 gig colo switch, which wasn't used that much. And of course, lots of HP switches all over the place to hook everyone up. Now, Force 10 shipped us a lot of big boxes, and one of them we didn't really know what was in it, because they were nice enough to ship us an engineer as well. And boy, did we keep him busy. Now, building the network was a little difficult this time because quite a few things went a little bit wrong and we had to do quite a few hacks to get it all to work. So, for example, the fiber is in the building. There's three places with fiber in the building. It's a triangle. And it's always a little bit of a surprise which fibers will work because we try to build a 10 gigabit backbone, but it's all multimode fiber. And 10 gigabit doesn't really go well over multimode fiber. So every time it's trying to find a pair that works, and sometimes it's one leg that doesn't work, and the other time it's the other leg of the triangle that doesn't work, and now nothing would work. So that was a little difficult. Now I'll tell you a little about what the problem was. At the top is multimode fiber, which is really thick fiber. It's about that thick. And at the bottom, there's the single mode fiber, which is really thin, about that thin. Now, in the thick fiber, the light kind of bounces around and takes different paths to the other end. And so what you get is that not all the light in your pulse, which is a bit, arrives at the same time. So the pulse gets spread out over time, which isn't a big problem with your grandmother's gigabit Ethernet, but... But with 10 gigabits, which has really short bits, it's much more of a problem. So we had this problem, and we couldn't quite figure out what to do about it. Now, there is a solution for this. It's called mode conditioning, which is where you splice a single mode fiber on a multimode fiber on a very precise angle and an exact offset, and then the light goes through the multimode fiber in just the right way and comes out in the right shape at the other end. So what we needed was a mode conditioning patch cord. But where to get one on, like, the evening before Christmas? Yeah. Now, some say that he learned his splicing skills in a small monastery somewhere in Tibet when he was 5 years old. And that his only natural enemy is the backhoe. All we know is he's called Starbug. Woo! So while the NOC team was contemplating the simplicity of dual ISDN dial-up, Starbug entered the building and attacked our fibers with a knife. Then he stripped them down to the bare glass, carefully aligned them in his splicing kits, and fused them together. And then we installed the fiber. But a little more was needed to get it to work, because the network needed to go full dump for us. Now, there's different kinds of 10 gigabit optics, from like little flickering LEDs to high-powered lasers. In the end, what we used to bridge the fiber from D level to A level was the ER optics, which are normally good for 50 kilometers, but in this building, they're good for about 50 meters. With special thanks going to Transavia Airlines, because they delayed their flight from Amsterdam to Berlin with 5 hours so that Elisa could go back to the office to pick up the ER optics. And then we had a blinking light. Now, there were a few more things going on. This one, for plausible deniability reasons, I cannot show you any pictures. But as we were moving one of our switches, we heard something roll around inside. Now, we knew it wouldn't be dropped packets, because they scream when they fall. So, of course, we opened the box, and we find a big capacitor rolling around. Maybe that had something to do with the weirdness that we were experiencing with that switch. So, after taking out the main boards, we found the pole power distribution section on the bottom of the board, with lots of capacitors sort of half hanging on, clinging on for dear life. So with the soldering iron, they were all put back on nicely, and after that, the switch worked perfectly. Oops. Of course, once the network is kind of up and all you guys are sending your 2 million packets, we try to keep an eye on what's going on, and at some point, we saw this. Now, who knows Morse code? Anyone? Well, you can look it up later then, what it says there. Sorry? It says, hello, world. Now, we'd like to especially thank a few people here at the Congress, especially the NOC help desk for being our packet filters and telling everybody that 10.0.0.1 is not their default gateway, because without them, we would never get any work done. Of course, Elisa for configuring all 60 access switches, because that's a lot of work as well. And also all the angels for once in a while tossing some food into our cage, because without them, we would have starved to death days ago. And one final round of applause for the rest of your NOC team, because there were quite a few people involved and they worked very hard.
Okay, we go on. And it's still not the time for me to speak, because the first thing after the network we have to review is the results of our lottery. No, the results of the hacker ethics hotline. We want to know who pulled the trigger and who didn't.
Yeah, the hacker...
Thanks.
So the hacker ethics hotline has been... now in its third year, and we are originally introduced it because we were kind of sick of having people yell at us on the up-use phone. The up-use phone is where it rings when people discover that they have been hacked, and we thought, okay, this is a building full of smart people, and we may reduce the stress on that side and learn interesting things on the other side. So the up-use phone was suspiciously quiet this time. We had only, I think, 3 calls. One of them was, yeah, you're having lots of illegal content there on servers there. I said, no, there's no illegal content, click. And the two others were people who wanted to have their IP range filtered outgoing because some people were getting nervous about people in their network neighborhood. And, of course, we complied and filtered them outgoing. On the Hacker Ethics hotline, we had quite a number of interesting cases. And 2 of them were actually speakers who asked us if they could really show what they plan to show. We could, of course, convince them to tell us everything. But we also had a number of people who had serious ethical problems. So they discovered some really serious shit, but are, for instance, in an employment situation where they, if they say something about it, they risk being fired. And so they need some method of getting information out, because people get hurt if it's not getting fixed. We also had some people informing us about situations on certain web servers and certain services and so on that we will need to clean up later on, talking to the server operators, databases being exposed to the net with personal information, with payment information, all the usual shit. So there was quite a lot of work on the up-use phone. And we, of course, will continue it next time. And so if you have ethical problems, then please call the up-use phone. Thank you.
Okay, so where do we start? I think this year we start with the appreciation of people doing things as we've already started doing this. So first of all, I'd like to say a big thank you to the organization team this year, which has been rather new in the composition we had. They had a lot of things to do, especially because they have been busy doing the camp before, which is, as you might remember, just a couple of months ago. So thank you very much for doing all this work. One day they will leave their hiding place. And of course, as already mentioned, but we can't iterate it enough, the Chaos Angels, our volunteers helping everywhere. From what I heard, the work of the angels was really good this year, although there have been some significant changes. At least three people who did most of, you know, the supervision, the archangel stuff, were either not here or just chose to be a visitor this time after a couple of years. Special thank you to Buck Blue, who did a wonderful job this time as an archangel. Here he is. Yes, and then there is the video team. They're always hiding over there. So wave, hello. From what I know, streaming has been working very good. Recordings are mostly online already in various formats, so I'm really looking forward to, for the first time, really deliver on the promise to bring all that stuff online very soon. Yeah, and then we have this another hidden force. Nobody really noticed these guys because they are always the first one to show up, and when everybody starts waking up and coming here, their stuff is already running. And then it doesn't fail. So all hail to the mighty POC. Of course, there are lots of other groups that have been doing work here, and the list is endless, so just focusing on this. But we have, of course, again, to mention the host, the Berliner Congress Center, in cooperation with Ambion. I've said it many times, those of you who have been here for the first time, that we can do this here is a wonder. This is the loveliest conference place in Germany. It's super cool, and we get access to almost everything. We get access to things nobody else gets access to. You've seen the network diagnostics that were going on. Other clients don't even get to these places where they would have the chance to get so close to the stuff. So that's because there's a very strong friendship with the Berliner Congress Center. Olaf, thank you very much again. You're cool. Numbers. More numbers. We have some. Just a few. Visitors this year. the age of our youngest speaker. And I heard the talk was excellent. And yes. And I also heard that it took him 16,103 kilometers to get here to speak from Australia all the way to Berlin. Twenty-five workshops in the finally working workshop room, which is good. Whenever I've been there, people have been working on stuff. This is good. We have to continue in this direction. 100 lectures being given this time, slightly less than last year. So a lot of content still available. Only 3 of them failed to deliver for various reasons, planes, you know, the usual stuff. So basically, we still have a very stable schedule, which is good. So also, thank you, especially, it's part of the organization, but it's always worth mentioning, the conference organization itself takes most of the work, because they start like months before, and going through a selection of hundreds of applications for the Congress is a very lengthy process, and I think the results are, again, very good. So, thanks for that. So last year we started the Sputnik project, this active RFID tag, you know, this one. Our goals have been very ambitious at first, and then we ran into bugs, so things haven't really worked the way they should last year, although basically we were following the right path. This year it worked much better, and here are the numbers. So the system was able to track 500 megabytes of tracking data. That is around 25 million tag sightings. So 25 million single beeps sent by a Sputnik somewhere in this building. And they were received by 37 readers this time, so it's a very high resolution. If you've seen the visualization downstairs, which was running the last 2 days, there you could see how fluent this works right now. In total, this year it was only 210 users tracked. I guess not everybody brought his own tag from last year. Just think of it. This is always going to run on CCC events, so we're going to increase this. 76 of them were non-anonymous, so they chose at least to have a nickname. Might not be the right name, but at least there's more than just an ID. So in general, Sputnik is an anonymous system, or capable of anonymous tracking. If you wish so, you could be anonymous. So, and what we tried to do last year, this time it worked. On the OpenBeacon website, you can download all this data. So if you're into data mining, if you really want to know, you know, find your way, make 3D visualizations or other cool stuff, just grab it, work on it, and do an excellent talk next year. Incidents. Yeah, there have been some. First of all, it was good to see that finally the politicians are joining our efforts. So, both parties. You know, what you see on the web is always true, so we're very happy they're joining our path here and refusing the hacker law, anti-hacker laws here. That's good. So, this joke was already spoiled. Somebody asked for illegal videos. Of course, we've taken a very strong look at this, as we always do. And we haven't really found anything. And I can assure the public that there's nothing illegal going on. And Yeah, and you know, every now and then, when you go to certain places, you have this kind of advice that you should better leave the place as you would expect it to be if you run into it in the first place. Yes, and this has been done. The public terminals in Berlin are now properly prepared. That's good. Yeah, and then we had this case of willful damage to property. Oh yeah, big story here. So somebody went to the Media Markt over there. And got arrested. Yeah. It seems he's really caused a lot of damage because he was running around with a newly virtual cybernetic weapon. The TV, be gone. Yeah. So this is really dangerous. Keep your kids away from that stuff. I wonder how this will turn out in the end. So, on the other side, looking at this event, I think we see something that I wouldn't say we have been missing it, but it's good to see that more effort has been put into this, and we have to continue this. It's activism. We finally have it. And we have so many topics here, so many things to work on. So many stuff to work on, and I think we have to continue this way. And while I think we all agree that we feel that we have achieved something this year and things are really going forward, you know, full steam ahead, I got an email yesterday, actually today, and it referred to this piece of, well, note that was published 26 years ago on a German magazine. Die Tageszeitung, here in Berlin. And it's sort of the founding document of the Chaos Computer Club. It was the announcement of a meeting of five people getting together because they felt they had to do something about it. Computers are coming, technology is coming, it's going to impact society, we need to, you know, collaborate, do something about it. And you all know that Wouter Holland, who died in 2000, was part of this group, but he wasn't alone. So I got an email from one of the other signers, Tom Twiddlebit. And I'm going to read this to you in German, and I'm going to display a translation afterwards. Ich habe vom Kongress ein bisschen über die Streams am heimischen Rechner mitbekommen. Und was ich sah, hat mich gefreut. Herzlichen Dank und Glückwunsch an alle, die daran mitgewirkt haben. In einer nach meiner Wahrnehmung achtjährigen Wandlungsperiode hat der CCC eine Entwicklung durchgemacht, an deren Ende er neben der immer schon vorhandenen Expertise auch politischen Biss bekommen hat. Eine solche Richtung und Professionalität hatte ich erhofft, als ich 1981 das erste Treffen bei der TAZ zusammen mit Wouter Holland und den anderen drei Anwesenden organisiert habe. Insofern, jawohl, Volldampf voraus, weil die Richtung stimmt. Tom Twitterbit. So at least now we know that the streams have been working. So, I think this is good news. Some advice. What can you do if you leave this place for the next years? I tell you. First of all, educate your peers. Go out, tell them, explain, reiterate, repeat, try it again. You know, go for it. Sometimes it takes a while. Also, organize, get together, form groups, form whatever, clubs, just do it. Get together, make your mind up. So many people send us emails, oh, it's so good, the CCC is here and you're doing so much stuff and where would we be if you were not here? And I just think, like, why are not you starting your club today? Why are not you doing something on this? So, do it. And the last year was also the example of a new trend of building hackerspaces. And I can only tell you, do it. Build a hackerspace. We have so many cool places now in Central Europe especially. You know, lots of places here in Germany. The Meta Lab in Vienna is doing fine. Other clubs are coming up. The MAMA Net Culture Club in Croatia and so on. So many good examples. So get together and define your place. Be somewhere. Be visible. Create a place where people can actually go to and talk. Because doing it on mailing lists just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. It's, you know, shouting into the oblivion and nobody is going to answer. But if you are really physically present, it really makes a big difference. So in that sense, create, intensify, and unite, and we're all going to be very successful. So, and now, intermission. We have a special presentation by our friends, you know who? Mr. Jens Furtner.
Okay, it's a small present for you, because a couple of days ago, I held a speech about computers and pop music, about computers in pop music lyrics. And I picked a couple of really good examples of really cool and really awesome songs of the last 40 years, but there was one big hit, and of course it was the stupidest, or like most stupidest, or whatever, yeah? So people are like came to me and said, I want to hear this song one more time, it's not on the internet, where is it, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Here it is for you, and I have a bet with Tim Pritloff. I told him they will sing, and he told me they won't sing. So we have the lyrics for you up there. So I want to hear you sing. I want to hear you shout, whatever. It's a song from the year 1996, so halfway through from the beginning to this Chaos Communication Congress. It's called Surfen Multimedia from 1996, by a group called Eurocats, and they tried to get into the Eurovision Song Contest finale, but they didn't make it. But they appeared on the German television, and they did a good show, and now I want to see you, like, doing a good show. So let's try. Okay.
Okay, ist das schön laut hier?
Ja, ist das schön laut hier, ja? So. Ballermann 24.
Jetzt aber.
Mouse und Klick, da gehen wir auf Tour. Im World Wide Web folgen wir heute jeder heißen Spur.
Hier ist Ihr Mikrofon. We are so happy you are here. Johannes and Monochrom, super cool. Stay forever. Ah, I should have put this into the end. Now I'm getting boring. So, I'm cleaning up. So, if you go, please take all your stuff with you. Don't forget anything, you know. Tag yourself online, you know this. And please give feedback on the lectures you've seen, if you haven't already. Check the wiki, check the website, you will find it. You're hackers. And please talk about it, go out and tell what you have experienced here at the 24C3. It's not over now, you know, we have the after hour at the C-Base. Party, free entry, free music. It's open now. No free beer, I'm sorry. We're interested in freedom, but also in money. Okay, if you need more brain food, here it is. Easter egg. In Cologne, there's going to be a small open air hacker meeting next year. I heard so. Is it true? I think it's true. If it's not, it will be. In the autumn, MRMCD, this, you know, abbreviation nobody can explain, in Darmstadt. And of course, I'd like you all to be back here in Berlin next year, same date, same place, 25C3 in Berlin. So, thanks for coming, thanks for being here, thanks for supporting us. See you next time. That's it.